Today's podcast sponsor is Hover. Hover.com specializes in domain names, and if you are ready to start something new, head over to hover.com/ordinaryvegan for 10% off.
You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, number 78. How social isolation and loneliness affects your health. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and my number one goal is to help you live a long, healthy, and happy life. And I do that by advocating a plant-based diet, which consists of grains, legumes like beans and lentils, vegetables, fruits, and healthy fats like nuts, seeds, and avocado. A plant-based diet strengthens your immune system, and a healthy immune system is essential right now and in the future for reducing your risk of COVID-19. I am here to help you build an immune system that is a fortress. So today's podcast was supposed to focus on exercise and immunity. But then when I was doing my research, I kept running into studies about how social isolation was affecting our bodies and our mind. This happens a lot. Sometimes I focus on one thing but end up finding important information that I feel I need to share with you. The first thing I want to say is that I hope all of you are staying safe and well. Even though it might not seem this way right now, we are currently in a teachable moment within our world, an unprecedented moment. And I want to help you as much as possible by providing you with information that is going to keep you well, safe, motivated, and hopeful. Today's podcast is kind of a tough one for me because I'm going to talk about loneliness. And even though my entire life I have been surrounded with the greatest family and friends, I often feel lonely. Even as a child of a family of six, I felt lonely. This probably had something to do with not having the opportunity to bond with my mother when I was born. After she delivered me and the nurses brought her back to her room, she dressed, called a cab, and went home without me. Fortunately, my father's sister took me in and treated me with incredible kindness. Eventually, I went back to my home, but the damage was done. Looking back on that time, I know my mother suffered from postpartum depression, but no one was talking about that subject in the 50s. And she even went on to have another child after me, my baby brother, and did the same thing, except her other children took care of him. I have never shared that story before, but I thought I might be able to help someone by sharing it today. I often think, and studies have proven, that until we are willing to examine not only what we consume, but also the emotional events that are tethered to our survival, we will never experience true health. So on my research journey into immunity and exercise, I discovered what isolation and loneliness is doing to our health. One of the first things that really surprised me is that in May 2018, a Cygnus study stated that loneliness is at epidemic levels in America. Cygnus surveyed 20,000 adults to understand the impact of loneliness in the United States, and they found that nearly 50% of Americans reported sometimes or always feeling alone. In Generation Z, which is adults age 18 to 22, is the loneliest generation and claims to be in the worst health than people older than them. That statistic really floored me. Why do young adults feel so lonely? Of course, for me, no question goes unanswered, so I've read a lot of research about it, and possibly the most prominent problem for our younger generation is the heavy usage of social media in their demographic. A number of studies indicate that the use of social media can exacerbate loneliness and create mental health issues. And loneliness isn't just a young person's state of mind. In late 2018, a Pew Research Center survey of more than 6,000 U.S. adults linked frequent loneliness to dissatisfaction with one's family, social, and community life. About 28% of those dissatisfied with their family life feel lonely most of the time. 26% of those dissatisfied with their social lives are frequently lonely. In 1 out of 5 Americans who say they are not satisfied with the quality of life feel frequent loneliness. And people who are lonely often crave human contact, but their state of mind makes it more difficult to form connections with people. And all these numbers are alarming because of the health and mental health risks associated with loneliness. One study showed that the health consequences of prolonged loneliness are equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It can increase your chances of cardiovascular disease, obesity, premature death, and stroke. A study done by the Florida State University College of Medicine says loneliness is associated with a 40% increase in the risk of dementia. And a Newcastle University epidemiologist linked loneliness to a 30% increase in risk of stroke or the development of coronary heart disease. He and his colleagues found that leukocytes, also known as white blood cells, of lonely participants showed an increased expression of genes involved in inflammation and a decreased expression of genes involved in antiviral responses. According to his study, loneliness can lead to long-term fight or flight stress signaling, which negatively affects the immune system. And loneliness is not just a feeling. It's a biological warning signal to seek out other humans, much like hunger is a signal for food or thirst is a signal for water. Now, let's say you are already feeling lonely before this pandemic, and we now add social isolation into the mix, and you have sky-high levels of stress. When a person is socially isolated, the body will receive the situation as a threat, and the brain will release multiple stress hormones to protect the body from danger. Having an active stress response over a long time has been proven to increase the risk of developing cardiovascular disease, elevated blood pressure, infectious illness, cognitive deterioration, and mortality. Certain people in isolation need more support. Older people are at a higher risk because of the physical frailty, as well as the deaths in the family, in friendship networks, which are decreasing when they get older. American men are more likely to feel the impact of isolation than women because they have smaller social networks and less stable contact with children and relatives. In other countries, such as Mexico and Spain, women are more likely to lack social contact. Some reports show that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people face a heightened risk in isolation because they are less likely to have children and more likely to be estranged from their family. Also, going without human contact for too long can literally break your heart. According to a study from the Journal of the American Heart Association, patients with heart failure who felt socially isolated were more likely to die or be hospitalized than more socially connected patients. Their study concluded that a patient's sense of feelings of loneliness or isolation may contribute to poor prognosis in heart failure. Now that the sheer volume of socially isolated people has gone up, we have to be extra cautious about how we isolate. Although social isolation is new to us, the impacts of social isolation have been studied in a variety of different groups, from astronauts to Antarctic researchers to children in Romanian hospitals and incarcerated people. In older people, social isolation seems to exacerbate any pre-existing medical condition, from cardiovascular disease to Alzheimer's, but its ill effects aren't limited to those over 60. Physicians who studied stress immunology at the University of Munich have seen radical changes in the bodies of people participating in simulation-manned spaceflight missions. Participants, some of those who were only isolated for 3 months, experienced changes to their sleep, changes to their immune system, and neurocognitive systems, and it altered their metabolism. And I know so many people are having sleep issues, and that is because isolation affects our circadian rhythms. If you remember from previous podcasts, your circadian rhythm is basically a 24-hour internal clock running in the background of your brain and cycles between sleep and alertness. No matter what your situation is, there are so many things you can do to improve your experience while being socially isolated. Let's first address our body clock. It is very important that you get up around the same time every day. This regular routine will help you sleep better at night, I promise. Also, I recommend your first social interaction of the day be in the morning and try to make it the same time. Try to have a phone or video call or just a quick check-in with someone. It could be a text, but a phone call would be so much better. And I recommend that it should be the same time every morning. I also recommend exercising around the same time every day. And more importantly, don't be sedentary. Separate daytime and nighttime activities. Daytime should be light and bright, and in the evening, dim the lights and do quieter activities. Isolation can also disrupt our meal schedule. But you need to eat meals around the same time each day. Eating is a timekeeper and helps our body clock. The next thing is predictability and structure. Every day, make a plan and have patterns. Predictability reduces stress because familiar patterns are calming, especially to children. Because patterns do not require us to wonder what is going to happen next. Predictability involves repeating patterns of behaviors by providing an environment where the routines in daily living are predictable. And when they are, you will feel less stressed and more relaxed. This is especially important for children. The reason is obvious. Unpredictable events and unpredictable people cause more stress and anxiety. Think about it. 12 weeks ago, school-aged children woke up knowing their day was predictable and safe. They would go to school, have recess, be with a familiar teacher, and after school, they would go home or on a play date, dinner, movie, sleep. As adults, we all clamor to be disruptive and innovative. But right now, the best thing we can do is create patterns in our lives, our new normal. Go to bed at the same time, get up at the same time, take a walk every morning, sit down and eat your meals at a kitchen table, not in front of a computer. I know some of this can sound counterintuitive, but routine can anchor us. The certainty of our routine can help us to manage the uncertainty that life is throwing at us right now. The next thing I want to talk about is equally as important. But before I do, I would like to thank today's sponsor, Hover.com, because sponsors make this podcast possible. I know a lot of you are exploring exciting new directions in your life right now, and that may involve an online website. Well, Hover wants you to start that something new and exciting with them. With Hover, you can register a domain name for your next venture. Hover has over 300 domain name extensions to choose from when building your brand online. No matter what you want to build, there's a domain name waiting for it, from .dev to .app to .design to .blog to .store and so much more. And take it from me, you'll find excellent technical support available to answer any questions you may have. Hover knows you will do something that will make a difference. Grab your domain name and many more at hover.com/ordinaryvegan for a 10% discount on all new purchases. Make a name for yourself with Hover. Thanks, Hover. The next recommendation for social isolation is to be patient with yourself and treat yourself with lots of compassion. People who go through periods of isolation, whether they've been on a scientific mission in the Arctic or on an international space station, or like all of us in social isolation in our homes, we need to know that we are not in this alone. I know we hear that a lot, and it can sound cliche, but it is true. You need to reach out, call people, write to people. Everybody needs and wants those connections right now. And this is a great time to strengthen those weak connections maybe you've had in the past. One of the reasons that living in isolation is so difficult for us is because humans are social creatures. We share mirror neurons that allow us to match each other's emotions unconsciously. We leak emotions to each other, and we can even mirror each other's brain activity when we engage in storytelling or listening. We are most comfortable when we're connected, sharing emotions and sharing stories. Dozens of studies have shown that people who have satisfying relationships with family, friends, and their community are happier, have fewer health problems, and live longer. In a study of 7,000 men and women in Alameda, California, they found that people who were disconnected from others were roughly 3 more times more likely to die during the 9-year study than people with stronger social ties. In another study published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 1984, researchers at the Health Insurance Plan of Greater New York found that among the 2,300 men who had survived a heart attack, those with strong connections with other people had only a quarter the risk of death within the following 3 years as those who lacked social connectedness. And connecting can be really hard for some people. John Cacciapio, a University of Chicago social psychologist, wrote an entire book about isolation and loneliness. And he discovered that lonely people tend to be more sensitive to cues sent by others, and they have a harder time reading the cues accurately. Even as they crave human contact, they are withdrawn, leading to a spiral of isolation that can cause poor sleep, high blood pressure, and premature aging. Humans are innately social. From the beginning of time, we've lived in caves and groups and villages and communities and in family units. We need each other. It's so important to keep up that human contact. And if you know someone who is withdrawn, especially during this pandemic, please reach out to them. As a matter of fact, I would like to challenge all of us to take the time every single day and reach out to someone who is isolating, especially people who are alone. Even if they tell you they are okay, just hearing a friendly voice does so much for any human being. Positive social support can improve our capacity to cope with all this stress. And I would actually recommend being more social during social isolation. And I know that sounds weird, but I think we have to step it up. We have to find new ways to be social in social isolation. There are many things we can do. We can call people on a regular basis and a certain time each day, or we could set up a group text with family members. We can do virtual workouts together. I did that with my cousin. It was so much fun. You can even join a virtual co-working space to be creative with others and share ideas and swap skills and learn from each other, like myworkhive.com. You can have a virtual dinner party. Whatever it takes. Also, please find ways to manage your stress levels. Exercise, which we will talk more about on the next podcast, meditate, and once again, keep to a daily routine as much as you can. Thank you so much for listening. You can find this week's show notes and all my CBD from hemp products at ordinaryvegan.net. You can buy my cookbook, The Easy 5-Ingredient Vegan Cookbook, on Amazon. And thanks to everyone who's been posting photos of the recipes. I am thrilled you are enjoying it, and I love seeing photos. Please join our health and wellness community on Facebook, over 310,000 strong, at facebook.com/ordinaryvegan. I'm on Instagram. Please follow me at ordinaryvegan. Thank you, Hover.com, for sponsoring this week's podcast. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.